Well, there's no rain in sight yet. We're still suffering through one of the longest droughts I guess we've ever seen. I'd like to talk about a little different subject today. And I guess I could entitle it, Some of the Blessings That We Tend to Forget. We all have a list of blessings that we're thankful for. Happy marriages, healthy children, adequate income to meet the needs of our daily lives. And the list can become rather long. But because God, sometime in the past, we don't know when, decided to set us apart as His own children, His own sons and daughters, and begin to train us as righteous kings and priests, we now have many more blessings than we did before. And these blessings are ours because of our calling. God has not given them to anyone else. I don't intentionally mean to take these blessings for granted, but I know that I don't think about them often enough or take the time to thank God for them, even though they are certainly a help to me every day in my life. And maybe you feel this way too. Let's look at some of these blessings, special blessings that are given only to God's children. First, let's notice that God in His love called us. First of all, let's turn to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. We're going to begin with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure, the He meaning Jesus Christ. We must try to achieve that same purity that Christ has. We are clearly identified as God's children. Let's go next to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now let's drop down to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. That could also read, a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Definitely emphasizing how we are set apart. We're not like we once were, and we're certainly not like the way the rest of the world is. And these verses speak of very high standards. We are not expected to achieve these levels of righteousness when we are first called, but we are getting God's help each day to grow and change and grow toward these goals. And as we struggle to overcome, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully, God promises not to change His mind about our calling. He has given us a calling, and it's ours, and He will not take it back. Please turn to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, we're going to read verse 6. Now these are Paul's words, and we'll look in a minute at how Christ says the same thing. Verse 6 of Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now this is Paul speaking, and he's telling us that this is a promise that's given and isn't going to be taken back. But now let's look and see how Jesus Christ expresses the same thing. We'll go back to John. We're going to be in John, and we're going to be in John 6. John 6, and we are going to be in verse 40. Jesus is speaking. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So now we see that Jesus Christ and the Father are both totally involved in helping each one of us be successful with the calling that's been given us. The blessings are just awesome when we just stop and think about what's going on with us. We can lose our calling because of neglect or carelessness on our part, but God's decision, his calling, remains. In Acts 5, we are told the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey God. Let's turn to John 14. John 14, and let's look at verse 26. Verse 26 of John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So here we see that it is a teacher. It helps us to remember what we're taught, helps us to understand what we're taught, but it is also a comforter. It also guides not only us as individual members of the church, but also guides God's church, just as it did in the Old New Testament days, when the church was first getting started. He gave it very special, loving attention and guidance with that Holy Spirit. Another blessing that we have are the angels. Wherever we are, they are a constant help. Please turn next to Hebrews. We are going to be in Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 13 and 14. Hebrews 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So here we see that angels have been given an assignment, a responsibility to care for us. They have a specific job given to them, so that we have their help also as we continue on with our calling. Let's notice how David describes their help. Let's go back into the Old Testament. Let's go back to Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them, so that we can depend upon them for help when we get into trouble. Many of the Psalms tell of David praising God, but he often pleads with God for help with the problems that he faces. He was very vocal. He wasn't hesitate to do either, praising God or crying out for help. He depended upon God a great deal. When we review these verses about God's Spirit and the angels and how they are directed to help us spiritually and physically, it is awesome to see how much God and Christ are helping each of us. They care deeply about how we are progressing with our calling. Some of the angels are given the responsibility to help our children. Turn next, please, to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, if I can get there in time. Matthew 18. We're going to start in verse 1, just to get a setting for what is taking place here. Christ is having a discussion with some of them. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. So now we see Jesus holding a child, and there's a group of people there, and he's teaching them. But let's see what he says. Let's go over to verse 10. He says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So angels have a responsibility too. We can't see this awesome spirit world that is swirling around us. And yet, they're not just idle. They're busy with jobs that have been given to them, and much of it involves helping and serving us. After the feast each year, we go through the blessing of the little children ceremony, and we ask for this special watchful care for our children. Have you ever considered what an incredible blessing prayer is? Can you imagine doing without it? What if it didn't exist? What if communication with God was only one way? With the scriptures, he instructs us in how we are to live and how we are to obey him, tells us about the people who lived in generations past. In prophetic verses, he tells us of future events and much more. But all this is a one-way conversation. If that's all there were, with just scripture and no prayer, it would be a one-way conversation. But thankfully, we have the other blessing to be thankful for, and that is prayer. The Psalms tell us that David spent much of his prayers praising God, thanking him for who he is and how he lovingly cared for him every day of his life. The way David writes, he writes very eloquently. He writes with a lot of feelings and emotion. I think the way he does write is a tremendous help to us to see things in the way that he did, in the reality of the spiritual calling that we each one have. Let's turn back to Psalm 34. Back to Psalm 34 again. We were there a moment ago, but let's start now in verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And that's the kind of attitude that David expressed a lot. He was thankful. He praised God. He recognized where his help came from. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. When David faced problems, he rushed to God in prayer. He knew that's where his help was, and he depended upon God helping him. So we're in Psalm 34. Let's go to verse 4 in that same chapter. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's deep faith when you can speak that clearly. He says he trusted God totally. Let's look at verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Total faith, deep faith. Prayer was a living, powerful blessing in David's life, as it should be in ours also. Let's turn next to James 5. We're going to start here with verse 13 of James 5. Is any among you afflicted? Again, we're talking about the power and the blessing and benefit of prayer. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. These verses list just a few of the blessings God gives when we go to him in a prayer where we trust him totally to answer those prayers in his own way. Another blessing that we have because we are God's children, surprisingly, involves Satan. The scriptures speak often of the power of Satan, and over the years, We had have heard many sermons admonishing us to keep on our spiritual armor. Be on guard against Satan. There are verses that describe Satan as a lion, prowling about, looking for the weak ones, the ones he can easily devour, catch and devour. We old-timers can remember so many church members in times past that seemed at the time so spiritually strong. At the Feast of Tabernacles, we stood side by side with them and sang hymns. We washed one another's feet at Passover. Hundreds of those we grew so close to in the times past are no longer with us. I mean, you look around. This is the size of our Columbia congregation. It used to be well over 200. Those were quite different times. Satan was watchful and took every opportunity to attack. If we become careless, yes, Satan can attack us and can destroy our calling. But God is in loving control and watches over each of us and will help us to do our part, if we do our part. Satan's power, sometimes we think, is unlimited, but it is not. It is very limited. Please turn next to Job 1. Here we're going to see Satan in action. Job number 1. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now I was a little bit puzzled about this sons of God, so I looked it up in some other translations and some other reference books, and they indicated that this was a time when all of the angels came before God and other spiritual beings came before God for some particular reason. Verse 7, And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence come you? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Satan was busy doing whatever he does, but he was there before God that day. And the Lord said unto Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil? Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? God had truly blessed Job. He was one of the wealthiest men on the earth at that time. Verse 11, Satan is still speaking. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Kind of a taunt, daring Christ, daring God to take away some of those blessings. Verse 12, And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power, only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now notice what's happened there. Notice the limitations that God put on Satan. Satan didn't have just free choice of his own as to what he was going to do with Job. God lovingly watched over Job and limited carefully what Satan could do. But he does the same thing in our lives. Satan isn't free to tackle us and destroy us. So God watches over us very, very carefully with his spirit and with his own presence. But in all of this, we also have a responsibility, a part in all of this to play. Turn to James 4. Seems like we're in the book of James a lot here today. James 4. And as we cover this, notice that God gives us the ability to combat Satan. James 4, and we're in verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Be obedient to God. Follow his instructions. Do what he asks us to do. Submit to him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we need to try our best to follow God's law, clean our lives up so that we can present ourselves to God and then ask him for the help we need to combat against Satan's attacks. Christ tells us that he and the Father will come and live in us if we obey him. And this is another wonderful blessing that is given to God's chosen children. Turn to John 14. John 14, verse 23. To me, this is one of the most moving verses in the Bible, because it shows the deep love that Christ and the Father have for us constantly. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our home with him." How encouraging all these verses are that we have just covered. Notice that in all the blessings that we have covered, we as God's children have a responsibility too. When we are obedient, then the blessings are given to us as God's very own children.